Doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M-M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up, cause you were born this way, baby.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I'm your host, Andy Otto, and executive director of Twin Cities Pride. I want to welcome you all to the show. Our goal is always to keep you in the know by hitting important topics, upcoming events, and let you know how you can get involved. So normally this is the point where I introduce my co-host who made sure that she wrote in my script, amazingly talented Rena. However, today she has ditched me and we're doing something a little bit different. And there's someone else here occupying the co-host seat. And it is none other than my spouse, Dana.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. So this should just be interesting just because it's the two of us, let alone who our most wonderful guest is over here. So there's also another reason Dana's here today, because one, Rena's traveling, but two, Dana and I have a very long history with today's guest and one of Twin Cities Pride's most amazing volunteers, Michelle Gunderson. How are you, my friend?
I am doing great. Thanks so much for having me here today. Yeah. So excited.
We couldn't think of anybody better. I mean, it's just, we have a long history with
we
each other.
We have a long history.
So before we go into that, because I think that's an epic story, tell us a little bit about you.
So I am getting up there in age. I'll just give you an age.
Oh, whatever. You are not.
And years ago, I figured out that, some of us get our life purpose at some point. Some of us, we just kind of keep going along, and that's good too. But as the mother of a gay son, I found my life's purpose when he was probably a teenager into his early 20s, and that was to start to speak up and speak out. So I have done that over the last at least 15 years. I am a therapist, part-time, kind of like I call it semi-retired, but I stay super busy, as you both know, with, grandkids and going here and going there, and all of the volunteer work that I do, which is just so important. For my soul, because when we're walking our walk, we know it. And I know what my walk is, and that is to speak up and speak out. That's part of why I'm so excited to be here today, because I have a voice. I might as well use it. I definitely want to use that and use that for the betterment and equal treatment for all folks walking planet Earth. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, you do it all most days. I don't know how you do it, but you do it all. Like, I'm exhausted watching your life, let alone anything else.
Yep.
I just remember seeing this picture on social media of your grandkids, like, fishing out of the boat, but they were in the garage.
Yeah, yeah, they were like two, like that intro to fishing. Yeah. So
here, cast your line in the garage. You
much,
can't hurt
like,
anything.
Practice this way. Yeah, we definitely are trying to give them good, grandparent, grandchild experiences as life goes on. They all live close to us, so
it's important.
Yeah, we're having a really good time.
That's good.
Living
the best life.
We definitely are. Yeah.
So we are connected because roughly, I don't know, 13, 15 years ago, whatever it is, somewhere in there, you signed up to volunteer with Twin Cities Pride. Can you believe? I know it's been that long, and it's been kind of a whirlwind since.
Yeah.
I mean, you just jumped right into volunteering for Twin Cities Pride. What made you click that button? Fill out that form that I
know your life.
Yeah. Right, laughing a little bit here. I don't have a good answer to that, so I will probably never know. But I do know that I had never been to Pride before. All I knew about Pride was what I saw on TV, and we kind of know that some media definitely really sensationalized things. So here's me, straight white mom, like, maybe I should just get involved. That was dipping my toe in the first time, and it ended up to be the biggest thing in my life. But I just thought, you know, I'll go and, maybe I'll just give out, you know, name tags or
oh, man.
Something very innocent, like I can wave a flag, you know. So in my brain, that's kind of what I thought I'd be doing that Sunday morning that I volunteered.
Well,
so.
And I think had things not transpired, and once we get back from break, we'll go into that story and like what happened that first year. But
yeah.
I think originally that was kind of the plan, was to have you volunteer in one of these different spots. And then, you know, things got a little bit changed that first year.
A whole lot bit changed. When someone handed me a key to a golf cart, the first, like, 10 minutes after I got in there, it said, you know, you're going to drive from here down to the end of Hennepin Avenue, and you're going to just bring people back and forth. And I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I can do that. I'm not a golfer. I don't even know if I'd ever driven a golf cart, but, you know, I'm not.
Oh, great.
All right.
And then they send you on Hennepin Avenue.
Then they send
places.
Me on. Oh, my God. So, yeah, it turned out to be a whole different thing than what I could have ever imagined.
It was, for sure. So we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll talk about what that first year was and kind of what transpired as that.
Okay.
I guarantee all of you that are listening, you do not want to miss this story as it's gone on over the years. But you are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Don't be discouraged.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong. And I grew strong. And I learned how to get along. And so you're back.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your host, Andy Otto, and Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride. I am joined by my special guest co-host today, my spouse, the one and only Dana Otto.
Hello, hello. Hello. We are talking with a great friend of Pride, Michelle Gunderson. Michelle has been an outstanding volunteer for roughly, what we figure, 15 years now.
Yeah, something like that.
So let's dive into your first year at Pride. What is this amazing story?
So, as I said before, I showed up not knowing anything. I found a place to park. Like, that was kind of the first thing. Then, you know, got to the sign-in little booth there where I said, hey, I'm here to volunteer. Had no idea what they would have me doing. But someone did hand me keys to a golf cart, and I'm thinking, I can do that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did then from like 8 in the morning until right before the parade started. And that actually ended up being so much fun. I met a lot of people who needed some transportation from the volunteer end to the beginning of the parade. That's kind of a hike for a lot of people. So
yeah, it's a long way.
Yeah, so they would get on the golf cart with me. Years following that, I actually ended up like with the Cadillac golf cart. That was fun. Like,
yes, we gave you the big six-seater.
Right, yeah. Like with and then, it, you know, actually like 9 people got on. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that.
No, we won't talk about
not
that.
Not very safe.
Hopefully our
yeah, no one's listening. Yeah. Yamaha. You are the executive director. So anyway, right. Yeah. Note to self, don't ever have Michelle go to the golf cart again. So I did that all morning. Oh, my gosh. So here I am, my very first Pride, and I'm like, my eyes, my brain, everything is all of a sudden like wide awake. And I'm looking around and I'm seeing, you know, I'm not exaggerating when I say like 10 people deep lining up on either side of the parade. Glorious day, blue sky. Mm-hmm. I'm just cruising along in my golf cart. I'll never forget this soul that I drove by who had like a little Toto looking dog. Mm-hmm. And this person was just dancing in a Dorothy like outfit all the way down Hennepin. There's no place like a homo. There's no place like a homo. Like, you know, this is the fun stuff you do not see on TV. You know, I stop and I talk to this person. I'm like, you are freaking adorable. Like, you are adorable. Anyway, I had such a good time doing that. So, you know, it's probably not, or, I'm sorry, 10:55. I don't know. I'm not watching the time. And I get to where the parade is going to start. And I'm kind of sitting in the golf cart, not quite sure what I should do. And here comes Andy over with a banner and says, you know, here, we need you to carry this. And, you know, it was kind of that stern voice, like, you're doing
this. You're doing it because I don't have anybody else and I need
you
to do this.
Pretty much.
So I know that voice quite well.
Yeah, I bet you do. Right.
I do.
And I've actually heard that a few times.
You know, it's happened.
But, you know, you get done.
That's
so there,
right.
There is
that's
that. Right. So I, you know, kind of meekly get out of my golf cart, and I'm like thinking, well, the last thing I expected to do today was to be in the parade. Like, I wanted to go and watch it, but you know, I'll do this because I am here and I'm going to volunteer. Start to unravel this thing. There's someone else at the other end, and I'm looking at this sign, and I'm like, it says Ashley Rook's Pride Parade or something like that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, where does this go? So I kind of turn around and I look at Andy, and Andy's just still like not smiling yet at this point, just looking at me like waving hands all around, and you go here, and you know, there's all kinds of chaos going on. I figure out that I'm the lead banner. I'm just like this some suburban mom, and I'm the frickin' lead banner. What? You're putting me at the beginning of the parade? So that's what happened. And I apologize to the listeners if I get a little choked up. It truly was one of the most, if not the most, amazing experiences of my life. As I sit here and I think about it, I can still feel the wind coming down Hennepin Avenue, just a gentle breeze, and I start to hear the cheering. I start to hear the shouts of joy, celebration, so many different colors. Bottom line is, I fully understand now that this group of folks, they've got it. They're living life. They're doing it. They're doing something that straight people don't get and don't really understand unless the door is propped open a little bit and then you get a sneak peek. I didn't just get a little door propped open. I feel like both doors
we opened
just
the
shut
garage
completely
door.
Like blew off the hinges. And there it was. Yep. I cried the entire way down carrying that banner. Not only was I so blown away to be doing that, a lot of my thoughts, you know, I couldn't help it, but my thoughts went to my son, which, by the way, he has given me permission long ago to say anything I want about him. So I'm not breaking any, and he knows I will. I mean, no, that's not good parenting. But anyway, you know what I mean? So it's all good. But I'm thinking about him. But I'm also thinking, again, 15 years ago, I'm also thinking about all of these beautiful, beautiful people. Just wanting to live their life, marry who they love. That was before, okay?
Yeah.
You know, just like this ground is level for all of us. Mm-hmm. Why are so many straight people not making it level? It's not okay. Mm-hmm. I think in that parade, that's where I found what I was born to do. Again, I didn't say much. Well, I didn't say anything. I couldn't. I was crying so much. Had my sunglasses on, but I was really tearing up.
Yep.
But it changed. It just really altered the course of my life. Mm-hmm. So I like to tease Andy a little bit because, you know, some of us have a little bit of a spiritual walk, and I do. And I like to tell Andy that, you know, Andy was my Holy Spirit, and I'm not making that up that day because sometimes we get this nudge in life, and it can come from so many different places, sometimes the most unexpected places.
Yep.
I did not expect to do what I did that day. And there you were, the Holy Spirit, handing over this banner, and there I went. I not only walked that parade, but I walked into my life and what I could do for the folks that straight, mostly white people, have put in the margins.
Yeah.
So I'm careful when I say people in the margins because you're not in the margins. You have been put there because straight white people have put you there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So one other thing that I can say about the parade that day, I'd heard this in several different places, didn't really sink in until that parade. Nobody on planet Earth wants to be tolerated. There's right. something that comes with the word tolerating. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Such a turnoff. Yep. What, you know, as a woman, do I want to be like tolerated in a group of men? That's a big hell no. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like really like equality here.
Yep.
Everybody wants to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, from an outsider looking in, okay, to what Pride has meant to me over the last 15 years, it is a joyful, joyful celebration,
mm-hmm.
as it should be, because there's no word tolerance going on mm-hmm. at Pride. It's all celebrating. And that's what really hit home for me that first year.
So how many years now have you
carried
that
banner? Well, it'll be 15. So. Yeah, I joke about the fact that as long as it's given to me, regardless of how I get down there, you know, cast, crutches, whatever.
Which has happened.
Yeah, it did. It did. I did have a pretty significant limp that one year. So, but we got there. And I'm so blown away and honored to do that. I often go through this thing in my head. My gay friends will tell you, I every single year, I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm not worthy. Like, I'm just like a mom. I'm just like, who am I? I'm nobody. I'm not saying that from a self-esteem point, but it's right. kind of one of those like, how do I get to do this? And then they talk me in, you know, they talk me off the ledge there and they're like, we need straight advocates too. We yeah. need straight people yeah. involved. We need moms involved. We need people involved because maybe somebody there doesn't have that going on in their
right.
life. And they need to see that not everybody is like, oh, grandma or grandpa or mom or dad or coworker or whatever mm-hmm. that is actually tolerating them and not celebrating them.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's one of the things I've said to you over the years is that every parent I come in contact with who has an LGBTQ kid, I always thank them. I thank them for being proactive in their life and thank them for accepting
Absolutely.
Them for who they are. And we don't always get that. And it isn't. And so for me, it was important that people see you and that you are accepting and that there is that kid standing out there or even that adult standing out there who doesn't feel like they've got a family and they need to see that is possible. And I mean, in the last 15 years, we've made you part of our family. You've been through all of our, you know, children's journey and our pregnancies and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just crazy to think that it all just started with a volunteer application.
Right.
Like, there we go. And then you have brought people along with you
yeah,
on this journey, and it's yeah. been various people, but yeah. one of my most favorite was your dad.
I know. Yeah. May he rest in peace.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was
quite an experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quite an experience, and gave us lots of time to reflect, you know, after. That's funny, the year that he was with me, my car got towed. That was
oops.
I don't think I ever told
I don't
you
think
that.
So.
Did you bill that to Pride?
That I didn't do, but we sure laughed yeah. all along the way.
Yeah. He was an amazing,
yeah.
amazing soul. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean, as a, you know, person within the community, to see someone like you, but also your father, who is of that generation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not,
military as
you know,
well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Just
smiling
was,
and just
right.
having a good time. You know, I mean, you talk about walking down that parade route. I've done it, carrying the flag once. And I think it's an experience everybody should have.
I agree.
You know, because
I totally
it's just,
agree.
It's, but yeah, to see you and your dad and, you know, you say you're not worthy of it, but we say you are because
mm-hmm.
you are what give people like us hope
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that there are people out there that love us no matter what. And that's what I've always felt from you, you know, like for meeting you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew who you were from Andy, but like instant warmth,
mm-hmm.
acceptance and unconditional love. So, you know, thank you for that. But yeah, your dad, he was gone too soon. Gone
yes,
too
he soon. Was.
He was.
We were
he
dragging
would be,
him along everywhere.
Yeah. He would be dressing up as Dorothy with the Toto dog.
Absolutely.
At some point, all he would have to do would be asked. So,
yeah.
You know, and it's interesting, too, all of the conversations that have come out of carrying the flag that many years, especially social media. It is pretty common for me to get I'm not going to exaggerate here, probably 5 to 10 people reach out in a private message, you know, saw you carrying the flag, or gosh, you've been doing that for a while. And I know that's an invitation to open that door to a conversation, mm-hmm. you know, whether they have a gay child, a gay grandchild, or, you know, whatever that means, just a different way of being challenged in our thinking. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important. I know I'm preaching to the choir here probably today, but you know, we have to straight people, if you're listening, we have to come behind these folks and stand alongside. This is necessary. Things are getting really, really dicey. I want to say that I feel a sense of urgency in you know, sticking up for our LGBTQ plus folks. We have deaths, clearly. Mm-hmm. We could talk about that for a whole nother.
Yeah.
If this is the kind of planet that people want to live on, well, okay, but it's not the planet that I want to live on.
No.
I love you too. I love my child. I love my friends, you know, 500 plus in my social media that are all gay, okay? Mm-hmm. This is the time, straight people, to get on board, to fill out the application. Now, I want to make sure that people understand you don't bring your own agenda to Pride at all, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's important as a straight person, you just show up, you smile, you hug, you love, but it is not your agenda because it is not our weekend. It is not, all right? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that's known. However, when you stand behind somebody, especially anyone who's suffering, and aren't we all suffering in some way, shape, or form?
True,
I mean,
Shannon.
We all are, right? But you hold a hand that maybe a couple years ago you maybe wouldn't have, or you wouldn't have thought about doing, mm-hmm. but you stand together. We are a force that can't be reckoned with as long as we are all together. That gives me hope. That's why I continue to show up. Mm-hmm. It's important.
So what would you say to that person who's maybe a little intimidated to
yeah.
be like, hey, I want to
come with me. You know, come. I'll mm-hmm. go Saturday too. Like, yeah. and we'll volunteer together. Like, mm-hmm. if that's, you know, where you're at. There's a free hugs booth that a guy mm-hmm. I know, Patrick, started last year, and that's where my husband went.
Love him too.
I know yeah. one of the token guys to give hugs. Well, he had a line. You know,
that's not surprising.
Right, right. What a great place to be. You don't have to say a word. Mm-hmm. And you just are, you're a human presence just saying, hey, you know, I love you. That's my husband, Dale, said that's all he's, you know, he was just yeah. like little tap and I love you. And, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of people just cried. There are so many ways to be involved. So much good stuff to do.
Yeah. And it's, you know, sometimes it's just 2 hours. Like if it's too yeah. overwhelming, that's okay.
Totally.
It can be a lot when you're staring, you know, over right. 500,000 people
right.
All day long. It's a lot, but it's an experience that it's hard to explain. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's so,
so
hard
beautiful.
To explain. And I always say when you walk into Pride, it's like, you're just family. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, you're family and you're part of that group. And nobody treats anyone differently. It's just, you're here, you know, we're going to celebrate together and we're going to, you know, have a whole lot of fun. And so it is a blast. But, you know, what are some of the things that you didn't think you'd get out of volunteering that you did?
Well, I met Jill Biden last year.
Yeah, well, yes.
Hello.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
So, I mean, there is that piece.
Yep.
I think for me is all of the people that I have met at Pride. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they are Pride friends and they're there, you know, like year after year. Maybe they have a booth. Maybe they don't. Maybe we just got to talking. Maybe they were, you know, like the Dykes on Bikes. Okay. They're yep. always behind the lead flag. So I have met a couple of those folks that's the only time of the year that I see them. Mm-hmm. We have these lovely conversations. They're like, oh, you again. And I'm like, oh, you again. You know,
we meet again.
Well, we meet again. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that is something that I just didn't expect was to make these one-on-one, you know, connections. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I promise you, as lovely as your compliments are and everything today, I so take them to heart. But I'm the winner here. I get so much out of being accepted into this family. It's everything to me. It is truly everything to me. So I'm the lucky one. I mm-hmm. promise you. I'm the lucky one.
I don't know if I'd agree with
that. We can go back and we can do that all day, yes, Data, right?
Absolutely. I make you walk how many blocks every year?
Crying every year.
Right, crying every year. That's funny.
And for some odd reason, you always end up as the picture on the Star and Trib.
I always feel like that's some Holy Spirit work going on there. Yeah.
Almost every time you are like the cover of the Star and Tribune every year. And it's fun because I've kind of been able to go back and look at all the years kind of working up and the people you've brought with you. And it's just been, it's been
so much fun.
Fun to watch.
It's an amazing experience.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
Yeah, it's we spent the last two episodes really talking about mental health.
Yeah, yeah.
And finding community and what that does to your mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
So, like, you know, it's just, it's so, I always tell allies, you are welcome. You're, you know, like, don't feel like you don't belong there because you do. We, you know, slavery didn't end because the slaves said so. It ended because people stepped up and said, this isn't right. You know, women didn't get the chance to vote if it wasn't for the men who said, hey, wait a second, this isn't right. And, you know, the community as a whole didn't get to where we are without our allies saying, wait a second, like, this isn't right and we're not going to do this and stand up. And so, you know, for all those folks who think that they don't belong at Pride, Michelle, you're an example of why you do.
Absolutely. I
mean, you do. Yep. And we joked with you for a long time because your son didn't come to Pride.
Yeah.
You
I haven't seen him.
We're not even sure you had a real
well, I know. We're like, wait, who?
If you hadn't seen his wedding pictures last year, you're like, is this guy really exist? I love that. If let me put it this way. If he's there, he hasn't connected with me or told me. And I'm, you know, I have two adult kids. They live their life. They can do their own thing. I have had a conversation with him, although this was several years ago, and I said, you know, honey, if you come up in a conversation because, look, at I'm starting to get asked to, like, speak at college classes. I'm asked to give sermons. Like, all of a sudden, like, I'm out there again. I'm using my voice if I can use it. Hey, and anyone listening today, you know, you want me to come and talk to something, you let Pride know. They'll find me. I am available. I am free. I am all about let's change this world. But, you know, he gave me his permission for that. He's like, you know, Mom, I don't care. And he's kind of like, I don't know that I could stop you. I said, no, you.
I mean, really it was nice of you to ask.
Exactly. Yeah. I've seen a lot of his friends there. Yeah. And back in a job that I used to do as a substitute teacher for many years while I was back in school to be a therapist, I do see a lot of kids that I taught, and that's really fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And I, again, it's not a thing like my brain isn't like, oh, I didn't know you were gay. It doesn't go there at all. I'm just like so happy to see them like enjoying the fun and the festivities. And I'm telling you, Pride is like the best party that this city and this state throws in a year. Tell me I'm wrong.
I mean, I won't because I run it. So I will tell you it's the best one.
It is
the second largest festival in the state of Minnesota. And that's only because the state fair gets 12 days.
Well, right. Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever. Right. If we had 12 days of Pride, we would definitely surpass that.
I would need a straitjacket. Just saying.
You would need a new sponsor.
There would be no Andy and Dana. Yeah. That was my feeling.
And next episode, we'll talk about how divorces happen. it's a whole thing. And you know, it's so hard to explain. Like, I don't know how to explain the feeling of Pride and why it's important that people show up and why it's important that we have a parade and that, you know, we show everybody the love that they have. Because sometimes that's the only time they see it. I mean, we have folks who travel down from, you know, way up north who may never see a person who's out up there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. One of the years, and I can't remember which one, I met several people from Wisconsin that year, northern Wisconsin, same kinds of feelings. Mm-hmm. I have met an old classmate of mine from a very small town in northern Minnesota who I know, there's nothing going on up there. So this gives safety not only to the Twin Cities metro area, but it's a safe place to be for the state and even outstate. So come, volunteer, you know, meet some people. It is such a good time.
Yeah. I think just getting people there is the important thing, because I think once they see,
right,
like you did, you know, I mean, we've been going, what, since we've been together, really. I think you took the first year off we were together, and then we've been involved other than when we lived out of state. You know, to me, it's seeing especially the younger generations getting to be who they are,
right,
you know? And I think if people come and see that and see almost the stress-free that these kids and these even adults are living, what that means,
right,
you know? And just, even if you just stand there and just take it all in, because it is a lot to take in, trust me.
Yeah.
It is a lot, you know? But just show up. Show up and watch.
Agreed.
You know? And then talk to people and ask them what it means to them, you know? Because whether they're straight, gay, bisexual.
Right. Right.
An ally, whatever, you know, we all have our place there. And I think it's important for people to come and see that, you know.
And everyone has a story, too.
Absolutely.
Of how did, you know, I love your question. How did you end up at Pride?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what brought you here today?
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're all really important stories that make up this whole tapestry of humanity, which is just so beautiful.
Yep.
And everything in me wants to protect that.
Absolutely.
It's so funny. I always think back to the protester that I was in charge of. We'll call it that. I was in charge of. And I spent the whole entire day with him, standing in front of him, making sure that people just moved on, because all protesters want is the interaction. And, you know, we had introduced ourselves to each other, and it was like, you know, this is who I am, if you need something, whatever. And it was after the concert, and him and I were up against a fence, and the concert had let out, and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, will you let me know when it's not safe to be here anymore? And I turned and I said, it's not safe, dude. And it wasn't safe from, like, you need to go and you're not welcome here. Like, you are one person in front of how many, and they've got a whole lot to say at this point. And so he said, can you get me out of here? And I said, yep, I need you to hang on to the back of my shirt, put your sign down, we're gonna go, I will get you to the edge of the park. Once we get you to the edge of the park, you put that sign away and you get in your car and you leave the city. Like, walking around the city at this point spewing hate is not in your best interest, right? Like, you're just going to hit a whole lot of confrontation. And he said, okay. And I remember I got him up to the street and I said, you know, have a great night. Be careful. Like, just get yourself to the point. And he turned and he was like, thank you so much. It's been great to hang out with you all day. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me right now? I have spent my whole entire day with you screaming hate behind me.
Right.
And here you're thanking me, saying, hey, it was great to hang out with you all day. Dude, just put your sign down. Right. Come tomorrow and hang out. Like, really? We're nice people. Like, it's fine. But yeah, he was spewing hate all day long and then was like, I need you to get me out of here. Please and thank you. Like,
never mind, you were pregnant at the time.
I was,
well.
Yeah, I was at that point. But, you know, we got him out. It was fine. It was all good. We made it through. But so we're going to go into another break. But when we come back, so we have rapid fire questions for you, but you only have 60 seconds to answer them because I know we know you. And you, these are some of the ones that you'll get super passionate about.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to keep you. So you got to hit the high points.
All right.
It's like the 30 second elevator speech, except it's your 60 second advocation.
Right on. All right.
Speech.
Sounds good.
So we are going to take another break, but we'll be right back to talk more with Michelle Gunderson, our amazing friend here at Twin Cities Pride. You are listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Back. Come out of space.
I sailed my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Twin Cities Pride Amplified on AM 950. I'm your host, Andy Otto, Executive Director of Twin Cities Pride, and I am joined by my special guest today, Michelle Gunderson, and also my co-host, my spouse, Dana. We've been chatting with our longtime friend and huge advocate of Twin Cities Pride, Michelle. We have some rapid-fire questions for you.
All right, bring them.
So you got 60 seconds to answer these questions.
Right on.
Are you ready?
No, but
okay.
But go.
All right. So the first one is, what would you say to anyone in our community who doesn't feel like they belong?
Oh, everybody belongs. This is a great big world. Everybody has a right to breathe on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's how I see the world. And I know tons of people that feel that way. We all share this space. If I got to talking with someone and they, like, if they were at Pride and they're like, oh, I don't feel like I belong, I would just be like, well, look, do I belong? I'm like grandma. Okay. Like straight white grandma. Look at me. I'm here. I'm doing a thing. Of course you belong. Mm-hmm. Oh, of course you belong. I would do everything within my power to make sure that person feels loved, safe, and secure in that moment. I can't do anything about what might be happening somewhere else in their life, but I would encourage them to continue to reach out to this community, to find longtime loving friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, statistics show that if one person, they have one person who has interacted with their life who has told them that they belong and is supportive of them, the risks of self-harm go down dramatically.
Absolutely.
So. That's a key thing. And to all the allies out there, like, that's the one thing. Just simply saying and accepting someone and telling them that they belong here saves lives.
Right.
And I hate to say it like that, but that is the truth. So, okay. Number two, what would you say to a parent whose kid just came out to them?
Yeah. So how can I help?
First thing,
do you have any questions? You know, some advice that was given to me a long time ago that I've never forgotten was a gay band teacher, and I knew him well. I still know him well. He said, you know, Michelle, parents kind of have a coming out process too. Mm-hmm. And that has Absolutely. Been golden for me over the years. And I think I would share that with parents who just, you know, are just, you know, I'd feel it out a little bit, like, were you shocked? Or, you know, normally we're not shocked at all. Like, we knew. Okay. Because we're not asking those questions about our straight children. Okay. Right. Like, I didn't look at my son and say, I wonder if you're gay, and then look at my daughter and think the same. No. I knew.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
But I think I would start with that, just knowing that this is a process. You don't have to, like, grasp everything day one. You may not be marching in Pride and carrying the banner, like, right. your first day. Don't look for that. Just know that this is a process. Be gentle, not only with yourself, but you've got to be gentle with your child right now, mm-hmm. and be a sponge. Your job is to listen. Mm-hmm. That's it. Your job is to listen and love. That's it. No, you don't need to say what you think. You don't need to, for sure, talk about your religion. Like, if it's, like, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. anti, like, do not go there. Like, but just know that it's all a process. And then I would be like, I'm here for you. You know, yeah. as are lots of other parents. P-Flag, you know, mm-hmm. that is the greatest, okay?
Yeah.
But there's lots of people maybe not involved with P-Flag who definitely can understand and walk, you know, kind of with you. But again, there is a little bit of a coming out process for parents too, or loved ones, I should say.
Yep.
I thought that was good advice.
Yeah, there is. And I think so much goes through our minds when we come out. The one thing we don't need to say, and I don't know why parents do this, but please don't do this, is, well, you know, so-and-so isn't going to be okay with this. Dude, we know that.
Yep. You already know. You're right.
We know
of
that.
Of course
we
you
know,
do.
Yeah.
yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
You don't need to say it.
Right.
We know that maybe grandma and grandpa aren't going to be super keen on us,
right.
you know, coming out or whatever that looks like. Right. Just don't say it.
Exactly.
Don't
Again,
say it.
Listen and love. Yeah. Listen and love.
Yeah. All right. So what would you say to all the allies out there?
Get with it.
And we're done.
Yep. And end scene.
This is time. How many laws have been drafted up in the United States the last year that are anti-LGBTQ? I wish I had the number. Okay, I'm sorry I don't. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like it's more than we've probably had in a long time. Okay, yeah. Or if not more.
It's in the hundreds.
Look at what we're doing to trans people. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Come on. It is time to step up. I mean, we have to get our heads out, and we have got to show up, speak up, and walk alongside. Here's the thing. I like to, you know, think about this too. Is there a time when I maybe need to walk ahead and lead? Because maybe my gay friends back here are just tired as hell. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're really tired of like having the conversations and, you know, doing the thing at Congress. And, you know, maybe they're tired. Maybe it's time for the straight people to, you know, I'm not saying you speak for, I don't mean it that way. I'm just saying, okay, if you have to hang on a little bit and they're back here resting, that's fine. You still have to speak up as a straight person. Again, I feel like we're going backwards. And that is not okay. It all clearly depends on how you vote, who you vote for. Lots and lots of things going on like that. But it is time. If you've ever even thought about it, you have to take the step now. You have to be vocal. You have to stand up. You have to. There are lives that are depending on this.
Especially in 2024.
If you care anything about the kind of world that we're going to leave, children, grandchildren, whatever, okay, you have to do it, and you have to do it now. There is urgency knocking at the door. All right.
In a big way.
Yeah.
One of the things I always say.
And rant.
Yeah.
It's true.
One of the things I always say about being an ally, and I think you are a great example of this, is being an ally isn't just speaking up when the friends in the community are around. It's speaking up when we're not.
I'd say it's more speaking up when nobody actually is seeing or listening or hearing. We didn't really talk about this, and I know it's not one of your questions, but I've lost a lot of friends over the years. I should say so-called friends who I thought kind of had my back kind of a feeling. And when I started to do the whole coming out experience of my own as a parent and as someone who's going to speak up, people kind of just drop by the wayside.
Yep.
None of that matters, though, because look at the people in my life now. It's, you know, so awesome, so awesome. Mm-hmm. Expect that to happen. So what? This is life or death. I think a lot of straight people think, because, you know, we as straight, we're like living in our privilege. So how much thought do we give it? Oh, I don't know. I give it a lot of thought, not just for, again, my gay son, but for all of the children that are like him, that are growing up, that are, you know, my grandkids. I don't know if they're gay or straight, but I'm fighting for a more just world, and we all have to do this together. I'm only one voice. We need a gazillion. Okay.
Yeah, I heard somebody say the other day that, you know, when it comes to the election, you got to vote for the people in the marginalized communities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Stop looking at yourself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's not just the LGBTQ community. That's all marginalized.
People of color. Absolutely. Yeah. Indigenous folks. All of it. I'm in full agreement with that. Yeah.
Okay. This one I'm just pulling off the cuff. It's not on the screen in front of me. But I think it's important. And I'm pretty sure that they have tuned out at this point, probably when we started this show, if they were listening. But what would you say to all the haters out there?
Whatever. I mean, get a life. You know, this is either because I am a therapist or because I've come a long way in my journey or my age. I don't know. But, you know, it's a big this. Okay.
Absolutely.
It's just a big this. Yeah. Like, really, like, get out of my way. Like yep. I'm just so done. Who needs that energy? Seriously, I don't really have any words to say because for me, I just walk away from that. I'm not going to get hung up in that. You be you. I mean, yuck.
Take it somewhere else.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Take it somewhere else.
I mean, totally. What does bother me tremendously is I know, like, I don't know, but if they have children or grandchildren or loved ones at home, then that's the part that is heart-wrenching to me.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to put it all together, this is why we have pride.
Yeah.
Because you've got haters at home. You've got haters all over the place in your life or in your little town. You know, once a year, if not more, you have an event or events that you can come to and be safe and be loved on. okay, that's where you go.
Yep.
That's all I have to say to the haters. I mean, buzz off. You know, we have work to do. Bye-bye. I'm busy. Yeah. And I'm too busy for that.
Yep. I agree. There's a whole lot of it out there. So just like that, we're out of time for the day. I know, right? Thank you, Michelle, for joining us.
We very much appreciate it. What an honor to be here.
Yeah, I want to shout out an extra special thank you to two of our sponsors, 3M's and Deluxe, who have always been incredibly supportive of our mission here at Twin Cities Pride. They are so appreciated. We can't do that without our sponsorship. So thank you again for supporting our mission. Please support those companies that support us. If you're looking to join us for community next Tuesday night, the 12th, we have Pride Night at the Minnesota Wild, which is super fun and exciting. Let's see, anything else we...
Yeah. Oh. Rena wanted me to remind everybody that Twin Cities Pride really wants this radio show to be what you'd like to hear about. So if you have any ideas or topics you'd like amplified and covered, send an email to amplify@tcpride.org.
Do you ever do a call-in?
You know, if we did this live, we could.
Oh, but sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We're pre-recorded.
Gotcha. I thought that would be fun. Then again, you know, you never know.
But you never know what's going to happen.
I would just be like, whatever, dial tone. Bye-bye.
We are doing this live at Pride on the Loring stage on Saturday at 3, so our normal time. So if you want to see that, come join us at the Loring stage.
You know I'll be there. So
we'll be back next week when we continue to dive into important topics here in our community. Thank you for being with us today. We hope you join us next Saturday at 3 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Let's take care of each other all year long. My mama told me when I was young, we're